The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today is Decarbonisation Day at COP27. What exactly does that mean in practical terms? Can we do it without really affecting the way we live? Well, joining us now is Green MEP for Dublin, Ciarán Cuff, who's a particular interest in this process. Ciarán, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you might define decarbonisation for us. Obviously, it means taking the carbon out of something, but give us a little deeper dive into it.
Yeah, well, look, it covers pretty much everything that we do, but more particularly, it covers the production of steel, the oil and gas industries, and other areas such as the production of cement. Cement is often not talked about that much in the context of climate change, but it is responsible for about 7% of global emissions. And the good news is that we can move towards decarbonizing that. We have types of cement that we call green cement that require a lot less energy because they use a lot of recycled materials. So there is some good news on this. Yeah. And I'm sure in Sharm El Sheikh today, there are many people talking about the ways in which we can decarbonize.
Yeah. One of the pioneers in the eco cement was Donal O'Rean, who runs EcoSem, which uses the clinker left over from the steel industry to make cement. So the amount of energy going into make his cement is far, far lower than to make brand new fresh cement.
Absolutely. And the use of grass granulated blast slag is a wonderful example of the circular economy in practice. And here in Brussels, we often talk about the circular economy and what it means. In essence, it means less waste, less greenhouse gas emissions. And if we do it right, we will boost jobs in Europe over the coming years.
Mm. Now, just to stay with cement for a moment, because we're always going to need, you know, cement, whether it's made with by the way EcoSem make it or some other technique. And therefore, the energy has got to come from somewhere. So you can say, well, if you make cement using nuclear energy, not a problem.
Well, I think we should move towards low carbon energy. And certainly in Ireland, just looking at the smart grid dashboard yesterday and today, about 70% of our electricity is coming from wind. And I think certainly when it comes to Ireland, wind is absolutely the low carbon option that works well for us. Different parts of Europe have different options. In the Nordic countries, it can be hydro. In the southern countries, solar will be the way to go forward. And in France, yes, nuclear is a low carbon source. So there are different ways of decarbonizing. And I think we need all the help we can get to decarbonize. But for Ireland, the big story in the coming years is more wind energy and a lot more offshore wind energy.
Now, when you look at those kind of basic raw materials, you can understand how you might try to take the carbon out by using low carbon energy sources to make your steel and make your cement and so on. But then when you build something with that cement and with that steel, you're left maybe with a building, a factory, a school, a block of apartments and so on. And often they're not that carbon efficient because they've either got to be heated in the winter or cooled in the summer.
Absolutely. And one of the files in Europe where I'm the lead negotiator on in the European Parliament is something called the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive. And we know that buildings in Europe consume 40% of the energy and are responsible for over a third of the greenhouse gas emissions. So if we can decarbonize buildings, the energy that they use in their day-to-day lives, we're well on our way towards a climate neutral Europe. And there are different ways of doing that. Obviously, we know from Ireland, simple things like insulation or changing the windows can do a lot. But we're increasingly looking at the use of heat pumps and solar panels as a way of moving buildings towards much lower energy use. Yeah. And those are the discussions that I'm having with my colleagues from all over Europe. And, you know, it is a good news story, Pat, because the technology is there to decarbonize almost every building. And we see it as a source of really good green jobs, both skilled and unskilled, all around Europe over the 30 years ahead to 2050.
Okay, so this European directive, 2050 is a long time away, and we're told that the clock is ticking towards that 1.5 degree tipping point. So you'd imagine you'd have to do it a lot quicker than 2050, and that is the challenge.
Yeah. Well, we need to accelerate our efforts. At the moment, around Europe, about 1% of buildings are renovated every year, and we want to get that up to 3%. If we do that, then we will achieve the target we want in the 2030s and the 2040s. And the kind of discussions I'm having with my colleagues is, look, how can we do this? What do we start with first? What are the materials that we use? And what I'm saying in all of this is we need to have a just transition, and we need to start with the buildings where people are more vulnerable to energy poverty. And there's a great example close to where I live in Dublin's north inner city, Pat, in Stony Batter. St. Brickens Park is a Dublin City Council housing scheme, the typical kind of housing scheme from the 1950s or 60s. And it was made of concrete. It had huge energy bills, and the conditions within those homes were not brilliant. You would have mould, you would have cold and damp spots. And what Dublin City Council did was a deep energy retrofit, and they brought those homes up to an A energy rating. In fact, a passive house standard, which is even higher than the general A. And the result is that the people living in those homes are leading more comfortable and healthier lives. And the kind of chats I've had with people living there, they absolutely love where they're living now. They have warm homes, the air quality is good, and the quality of life is good as well. And that's what I'm hoping to deliver to 450 million people all around Europe over the coming years.
Now, aviation, the shift to some sort of fuel that is safe, but also is low on carbon. Hydrogen fuel, people maybe not like the idea of having a wing full of liquid hydrogen.
Well, any fuel that we put into an airplane is going to be energy intensive, and kerosene is flammable just as hydrogen is flammable. Decarbonising aviation, Pat, is a little bit harder than buildings, but we have a file for that called the Refuel EU proposal. And again, I'm the shadow rapporteur, or the Greens negotiator on this file. And we have an outcome which is relatively good, not as ambitious as I would like. It calls for 2% sustainable aviation fuels by 2025, 5% by 2030, up to 20% by the mid-2030s. So the level of ambition is not perhaps as high as we have for buildings. But aviation is difficult to decarbonize. The way we do it is with sustainable fuels. And one of the main types of fuels is biofuels. And we have to be careful there that we're not putting all of these biofuels into aeroplanes, because we need them for other uses. And in fact, a lot of the crop sources for biofuels could actually be used for food. And there is competition already between crops for food and crops.
I should also ask you about, the OPW asking RTE or telling RTE to switch off the Christmas lights, and the same with the GPO and all the rest of it. What do you make of that kind of thing? Limiting the amount of joy that these lights bring to us.
Well, I think the kind of efforts that we make in reducing our emissions will bring a better future for people around the world. I'm sitting here in a booth in the European Parliament. We've turned down the lights all around the corridors here in an effort to save energy. We've turned down the thermostat a bit. I'm wearing a jumper here today. Previously, I always felt the buildings were overheated. Christmas lights, look, I think it makes sense to have Christmas lights to bring joy, but I can also see the argument for turning them down or turning them off for an hour or two. I'd love to see the massive advertising hoardings all around Dublin turned down. I think there was one in the headlines the other day that is keeping a family up at night. I think we should try and use less energy in advertising, in floodlighting, in light pollution that is causing difficulty to birds and to other species by keeping the lights on all night. But there is possibilities there as well, Pat, because LEDs, light emitting diodes, are much lower in terms of energy use. And I think it is possible to keep the lights on where we need them and to use a lot less energy as well.
Ciarán Cuff, thank you very much for joining us. Ciarán Cuff, who's a MEP for the Dublin region.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.